And I want to invite you, get on Jensen Franklin's website. Just go to Google. Google it like this, Jensen Franklin Fasting. Or Jensen Franklin Fasting 20. Do that. Did everybody get that? Jensen Franklin Fasting 2014. We'll get that for you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. The Lord spoke something to me just recently, and he put it very deeply into my heart, and I felt like he really wanted me to make you aware of the tremendous power of pleasing him. How powerful it is to please God. I was asking the Lord about my own prayer life, and I was saying, Lord, is there anything in the way of any prayer that I'm praying? Is there any reason it shouldn't be answered? You know, the scripture very easily and often will add forgiveness in with messages on prayer. I asked the Lord, is there any forgiveness I need to do that I'm not aware of? Is there something that I have left out? Because here was the point. I wanted to be able to touch God and to get an answer. And not that the answer be no. I really needed what I was asking God for. And so sometimes we have had the thought that somehow God's going to answer our prayer just because we pray. Now, really, I could give you a list, that's not what this message is about, of the kinds of prayers God doesn't answer and doesn't hear. You can't pray just any kind of prayer in any kind of way and be any kind of person and expect to get an answer, because it's about relationship with God. Prayer is about relationship. But he showed me this thing, which was really wonderful, because I was saying to the Lord, if we do what we know to do, if the Holy Spirit shows us anything, and especially if we endeavor to pray in faith and to learn about faith, I was saying to the Lord, is there some things that you want to teach me more about faith, Lord, so I can break in? And he began to show me this because I asked him this question. Whose prayers do you answer, Lord? And how can I get my prayer answered now? And what would be standing in the way that I wouldn't have an answer to this prayer? Because I really need you to answer this prayer. I want to know that I walk with you as a friend, and that you care about my needs, and that you reveal yourself and your ways to me, so that I come to a place I feel stuck, then you'll help me break through that. So I was asking him to teach me about that and to show me concerning that. Now, some people just pray like buckshot. It's sort of like they fire their gun, and if one of their prayers sticks, great. Now, I'm talking about praying prayers with the need and the expectation I'm going to get an answer to that prayer. And I said, Lord, show me what is lacking, what would be lacking with any of us, with me, with any of us, about getting our prayers answered. And he reminded me that in there's about four different places it's mentioned in the scripture that the heavens were open, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. One time was when he was being baptized, and the scripture said the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove and lighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And one in Matthew 7:5 says, while he yet spoke, this was on the Mount of Transfiguration, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. There's something that happens by the example of Jesus when he pleased God. It caused God to have such a strong response that he opened the heavens to break through, and even the people around him heard God talking about him. And it was a kind of a situation where angels would be ministering, or people might fall over. In other words, things started happening because of the pleasure that God had in the Son. You know, there's a lot of things that we need to have done, like we need to have the lost saved, and we can't save anybody. But if we can get the ear of God, then God can save anybody He chooses. If we can break through on God's heart, if we can get Him to hear our prayer, then He can move and do that work that only He can do. Now, there are certain values that bring the power of God into our lives. Now, I'm talking values. Some people think in order to be a person that gets their prayers answered, they have to have a list of areas that they are approved, either in the church or by God or by their friends, and they judge themselves. I haven't done this and I haven't done that, so I guess my prayers won't be answered. So I'm not talking about keeping the rules. I'm not talking about you're not doing enough of the things you need to be doing. I'm talking about values. Everybody say values. I'm talking about what's in your heart toward God. What's in your mind? What's in your spirit? What is your attitude? The Son pleased the Father. It caused the heavens to open and a dove to descend and the voice of God to be heard from heaven. Jesus had the attributes and values that brought the power of God because God was pleased with Him. Think about getting your prayers answered and heaven opening and all kinds of supernatural things begin to happen around you because God is pleased with you. Well, that'd be works, wouldn't it? What would the work be? An attitude? Is an attitude work? Is faith work? Is believing in God work? No, I'm just talking about whether or not we have a desire to please God. You remember Heidi said, she said to God, whatever the question is, God, the answer is yes. Have you made up your mind? I have. That whatever God asks me to do, if I know it's God asking, the answer will be yes. I don't really think I have the right to insert myself into that and say, I think maybe God wants me to do that, but I'm not up to it. I don't have the grace for it. It's a religious way to say it. I don't feel like doing it. I'm too worn down. I'm too this, I'm too that. But if God wants it and I want to please God, then I'm going to say yes to that. It matters who the person is who's praying to God. Else, why do we ask people to pray for us? Why do you go where somebody has a healing anointing and ask him to pray for you to be healed? It's because it matters who prays the prayer. We get real squirrely about this sometimes. And we don't even want there to be anything to aspire to. But I'm telling you, there's a lot to aspire to if you really want your prayers. Have that relationship with God where He'll answer your prayers because of you. It matters who that person is. It matters how he lives his life and what he seeks and what his focus is. God makes His power available to those who value what He does. You know, when we think about this, Hebrews 11:6 tells us what pleases God. And I want, on another time, I want to preach about this. About without faith it's impossible to please God. But the first thing we think about pleasing God is faith. And faith is not really something you do. Faith is a decision that you've made. And then there's an outworking of it from that point. I've decided to believe God. I have decided not to doubt. I have decided that I'm going to declare the word concerning my situation until I see the manifestation. That's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, some people are living their lives apart from faith, even though they say they're Christians. They say that they're Christians, but everything that they do is based on just the normal things in life. Some people are really worried about the world, about our nations, afraid everything's going to fall apart. Well, I'm just not. Because I'm living by faith, and whatever happens, I'm going to be in the middle of helping to deliver and set people free. And I'm not going to try to work it out. And I really don't think anything. If it could have been worked out, somebody would have been allowed to work it out already. So we don't know what's going on. And it's no need to be under such pressure. We're people who've been called to live by faith. He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Now, if we don't learn what faith is and how to walk in it, we won't please God. Hello? You know, I don't feel I have very much faith. Well, that's okay. Are you working on it? Do you intend to have faith? Are you giving yourself to the walk of faith? Well, you know, I don't like those name it, claim it people. Something I do like about them is they're positive. And it's sure better than hearing, I don't like the name it, claim it people, and I'm just had it so hard, and things aren't getting any better. I'd just rather be over here with the people talking positive, whatever, whoever they are. Many know about faith, but they don't live by it. Now, let me give you this statement I think is very important. When you awaken the pleasure of God, the power of God follows. And I'm going to give you some proof. When you awaken the pleasure of God, the power of God follows. Did it ever occur to you that we are called for His pleasure? I do. I say to God, Lord, I want to be a pleasant experience for You. How many of you think that at times you've been an aggravation to God? Yeah. I've thought that too. I said, why didn't you just call somebody? It wouldn't be so much trouble. When you awaken the pleasure of God, the power of God follows. What values awaken His pleasure? What gives God pleasure? That's what we need to be doing. If we want to be a person in a place of prayer where prayers really get answered, where God breaks through the heavens for us. From the beginning, God made man in His image, didn't He? And after Adam fell, Jesus made the way for us to be restored into that image. So it's the Father's will and plan for us to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, your Bible says this in Romans 8:29. Remember this? If people love that scripture. Well, you know, everything works together for good. No, it doesn't. Doesn't at all. When babies are aborted, that's not good. When people are shot that are innocent, that's not good. The scripture says things work together for good of those that love Him, that are called according to His purpose. God is working together things for the good of His purpose to those that are called and to those that have given their lives to Him. He is working those things in His life, even though sometimes it looks to us as if perfection is more important in our lives than protection. He's still working everything together for our good. I thought about all the things that Heidi and Roland have been through. Apparently, that's a part of perfecting them and making them in His image. And when you come out on the other side, then there has been a perfecting work done in your life. So when difficulties and pressures happen in your life, don't think it means that God doesn't love you. So Ephesians 1, 4 through 5 says this. Now this is what pleases God. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Christ-like. He wants us to be like Christ, to be, as Romans 8 says, conformed to His image. And then the scripture says, He had as many as He foreknew, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. His purpose in our life and what gives Him pleasure is that we be conformed to Jesus' image. And my Bible says that He puts us on a path where we will be predestined in the working out of it to form us into His image. Not predestinated some to heaven and some to hell. But those that He knew would be His, then the predestination comes to put you on a path that is forming you into His image. You know, there's some people that have never had any difficulties, never had any sickness, never had any financial loss. Too many of them are just smart alecks. And they think there's something wrong with the normal people that have things happen to them. Well, I have good news for you. Having difficulties from time to time in life is normal. You can't find any of the old saints that won't testify to this. Now, some of the newer ones, I've even heard it preached that there's no more suffering now. Jesus took all of our suffering for us. Now there's no more suffering. I would love to see every person delivered from any pain of suffering and sickness. Nevertheless, there are many other things that cause us to have suffering in our lives. Christlikeness is what gives him pleasure. Think a minute. Christ is who gave him pleasure. So much so that he opened the heavens and started talking about it, bragging on his boy. So Christ gave him pleasure. What's the next best thing that we can come up with? Christlikeness. I'm telling you, Christlikeness gives God enough pleasure that he'll open heaven and start talking. He'll start responding to you. He'll start meeting your need. Christlikeness. Sometimes we don't give a lot of attention to that. We don't hear it preached about very much. And we all mixed up about what it's about to be in the church anyway. We think it's doing something, you know, singing, prophesying, preaching, having some kind of a position. I didn't see that that gave him pleasure. I didn't see what you do is what gives him pleasure. Who you are is what gives him pleasure. Christ-like is all that is involved in humbling ourselves to be like him. That's what it is to be Christ-like. Oh, I didn't know you were going to talk about that today. I thought we'd talk about fasting. Well, this is not as hard as fasting. Think about it. I've chose the easier way for you. So in Philippians 2:5-8, we see that spelled out. Let this mind. Now, Paul's just talking to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. This is how Jesus thought. Let's see if we've got any resemblance. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Now, how often have we done this? Made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Really, don't ask God to humble you. Humble yourself. I guess that's what the scripture says, Jesus, by the choices you make. And he can't pull the rug out from underneath your pride and say, now, be humble, and I mean it. No, it's through the dealings in our lives and the choices that we make through those dealings. We are conformed to his likeness by choosing to do it his way instead of our way. Humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Made himself of no reputation. You know, desire for ministry and position and entitlement mindset about it is one of the greatest causes of strife and turmoil in the churches. Well, I wanted to do something. I went to that church, but I wanted to do something. Well, do something. There are so many things that you can do. Many times that means I wanted to do the picture of what I had seen that I would be doing. Everybody ought to do something. I agree with that. One of our newer people said to me recently that she could just make all kinds of things for meals and things and da-da-da-da. And I thought, do something. In other words, whatever the thing is that needs to be done, that's ministry, that's doing. Setting up the communion today, that's doing something. Or anything you do for outreach, or anything you do to share the gospel with others, wherever you are, all that is doing something. But I want you to think about this. Because we are people who like positions and titles, sometimes. I meant to say some people. But Jesus was a blue-collar worker for 30 years. He was a carpenter. He wasn't rich. I can imagine he's passed by a lot of lame and blind people that he could not heal because the power had not come on him yet through the baptism and through the walk in the wilderness. So there he was, just a blue-collar worker with no title, just being a person, breathing in and out. Then he met the Holy Ghost. Now, if a person could have these kind of Holy Ghost meetings, I'd say, yeah, put them to work right away. But we all have our different Holy Ghost types of meetings. And some people really do have gifts to do certain things and should do those things in the right setting. That's exactly right to do. But that is not really what pleases God. What pleases God is that we are like Jesus, however he did the things that he did. Being continually conformed to his image, this is what glorifies him. Each situation becomes an opportunity to bring him glory. Do you ever think about that? When you're in a situation, when you're in a conversation, when you're dealing with something, I want God to get glory out of this. And I want my part to bring him glory. If you do that, you'll please God. And it puts you in a place where he'll open the heavens for you. And this came to me like this. Jesus was unoffendable. And that revealed, when we are unoffendable, that reveals Christ. And that pleases God. Sometimes we can't see all the reasons to let an offense go, or if something hurts us, or if we've been betrayed. Believe me, I've been through my share of working through those kinds of issues. I've had plenty of opportunities to be faced with those things. Sometimes I've even had to go to a friend and get counsel and say, yeah, I can't figure this out. I don't even know what's right in this anymore. But I want to do what God wants me to do in it. I don't want to just say, oh, well, anybody acts like that, they don't need to have anybody be kind to them, or they don't need to be spoken. I don't need to think about them. I don't need to pray about them. That's very natural. I was with my hairdresser yesterday, and a man came in and asked for, he needed some help financially. And she asked him a couple of questions, and he didn't like the questions. And he just started to turn and walk out. And she said, now, wait a minute, I didn't tell you no. And he stood there a minute, and she said, you know, is your car here? Is that where you're going to put the gas? How are you going to get it? That's all I wanted to know. In other words, if I'm going to give you the money, I've got the right to ask you, is this a fact? And so he said, well, I'm sorry, I'm just having a bad, no, he said, I'm just having a bad day. And she and he said, and I'm not a bum. And she said, well, just don't be so ill. And by the way, I'm going to give you the money. And so she handed him the money, and he hugged her and said, God bless you. Now, he didn't deserve for her to be so nice to him. I mean, really, here's a guy asking you for some money, and when you ask him a question or two, then he's going to say, just forget it. That's no way to act. No. And I think Jesus was good to people who treated him wrong, too. Now, I just want us to look at this, and this is the only particular characteristic I want to look at. This is in the line of humility I'm talking about. But because this is the thing we deal with continually in the church and in the kingdom of God, we are often offended. But Jesus was unoffendable. Think about it. Every one of us could make the choice to be unoffendable. Think about it now. We will be hurt, perhaps bruised. And this gives cause for offense in the natural. It's our natural response. I've had people say and do things before, and I thought, well, you've got to be kidding. You just sometimes you can't believe it, how ridiculous people can be. But when Jesus could have been offended by being betrayed, abandoned, and when the justice system failed him, the natural choice is to be offended. Instead, he prayed the mercy prayer, Father, forgive them. When we choose not to be offended, we reveal Christ. That's Christ-like. This pleases God, and this brings His power into our lives. Something negative happens that we don't like. We can let it morph into an anger and yield to offense, or we can choose to be unoffendable by responding biblically, thus being Christ-like. I heard one minister say, you know, we think sometimes, you know, if it just wasn't for so many problems, that I don't like to have to deal with the way people are. And you know, I don't want to work with people. I have to fool with all this stuff about them. And he made this, you know, how many of you would like to be anointed intercessors? I'm talking about anointed intercessors. He made the statement, an imperfect world is job security for intercessors. We're not ever going to quit praying for people to be loosed and for us to be loosed from whatever is connected with the imperfection of other people, including ourselves. Did you ever do something somewhere in your life, and looking back, you just say, you know, I really wish I hadn't done that? You know something? That you probably gave somebody a chance for offense. Didn't you want mercy? I did. Thank God. I've been piling up my mercy account for years because I knew I was going to need it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. So when we are in a situation that offends, we can forgive and write it off. If it's not any big deal, you know, somebody just said they were going to come by and get us, and they just totally forgot to pick us up, and we had to stay home from the meeting, and we missed it. Now, you can just forgive it and write it off. You can say, that's okay, I've made mistakes myself. Or you could say, I don't ever ask him to do anything for me again as long as I live. And that really means, the other side of that is, because I never let people down on the promises I make to them. See, pride is behind this when we have such a strong response to things. I'll have people ask me every now and then, well, what happened to so-and-so? Well, how did that situation end or whatever? And I just say to people, I don't know how it's going to end. I never did hear any more about it. I don't know how it's going to work out. If I tried to get everything to work out the way it made sense, I'd be a lunatic. You just have to sometimes let people be crazy. And then after a while, sometimes they come to their senses. Sometimes I come to my senses, and it's not exactly the way it looked to me. You know what I'm saying? But if it matters to you, if it's an offense that's important that you can't get away from, it keeps niggling at you, then you need to get it made right. And the Bible tells you how to do that. It tells you that you can go and you can take someone with you and you can say what this offense is and get it made right. That's the biblical way to do that. And if they won't listen to you, then the scripture says you can tell it to the church. Now, some people think that means that I'm going to get up one day and say, you know, Carrie can't get her issues straightened out with Judy, and so I guess you all just need to pray for them. You know, what it means is tell it to the leadership of the church. If it's not settled on that level, then let somebody who has paid the price to receive the wisdom and the anointing to deal in these things help you with it. That's all it means. But here's the one thing. Make up your mind. You're not going to be offendable. I have made up my mind. I didn't do it instantly. And I didn't do it as soon as I should have. I'm talking about taking my life, my ministry life as a whole. Hey, before I was a minister, I didn't have anything to be offended about. It's the truth. Life was easy. And so then I made up my mind, I will not be offendable and I will not stay offended. If something feels like an offense, then I'm going to deal with it. Sometimes I'll say to John, how would you think about this, honey? We bounce things off of each other every now and then. Sometimes John doesn't give me an answer till the next day because he knows I'm not ready to hear the skinny on it this day. See, we all have these feelings. And you know, listen, if we're really going to serve Jesus, we can't come on with this thing after all I've done for Him, after all I gave Him, and after all I've ministered. You know, I minister to people all the time. I give them everything that's in all of my pockets to try to help them every way I can. And sometimes they don't even tell me goodbye when they're gone. Now, am I going to be offended? I cannot afford it. Do I understand it? Mostly not. Do I care? Not as long as the Holy Spirit keeps me on the right track. So if you make up your mind you're not going to be offended, then you're going to walk by the biblical principle to get it straight, or else you're going to write it off as something not worth that much trouble. But when you write it off, it's finished. You don't talk about it anymore. You don't let the imaginations come anymore. You don't replay the films anymore in your mind. It's ended. So, Christ-like response to offenders and enemies, I believe, is the place for us to start if we're going to really have that place of power where we please God. I think this is extremely pleasing to God. This is the whole gist of Jesus' life. Father, forgive them. On the cross, no matter what they did. In Matthew 4, verse 43, you've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. This is so important here. One day I read this scripture and I thought, I wish I had missed that page. So after I read it, I put it to work immediately. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. So there was a minister in the area, this is many years ago. I didn't think he really responded or related to me as he should. And he was the first victim of my steps to take to do good where I felt good was not done to me and to choose not to be offended. And I invited him to sit at dinner with me and with Judson Cornwall, because that was, in those days, that was a real pleasure. And he really appreciated. Remember this pastor that just putting his arm around me and putting his cheek right up to mine and saying, well, I just appreciate you so much. I don't know what all it accomplished, but I know it broke something in me that wanted to say, I'd let him stay over there by himself. He knows everything. We are the people and the truth will die in us. You know, sometimes you get the idea this is the way some people are. What good is to try to tell them anything? Look, you don't have to tell them anything. There's a lot of people Jesus didn't tell anything. But he gave them love. He gave them forgiveness. He pulled them up out of horrible pits. He would do every good thing he could do for them. That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his rain, his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which in heaven is perfect, and that means mature. Let Jesus be being formed in you all the time by loving your enemies and doing good to those that hate you. And so if your brother offends you, Matthew 18 says, if he trespasses against you, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. And if you will not hear thee, take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. So the scripture makes it very clear that we cannot walk in offense. And if we do, it breaks the unity. And also, the book, The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. This is Satan's bait, offense. It's something that we didn't like. And as T.D. Jakes says, you know, you can be in a church and 80% of what's in that church is fantastic, but some 20% you didn't like, you got offended, you left. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants it to be a bait for you. God is drawn to the humble. Psalm 138:6 says, though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect to the lowly. but the proud he knoweth afar off. Want to get close to God, but hold your pride at the same time? Is it John Jimenez had that message, your arm's too short to box with God? And he's going to get further and further away. The more you walk in pride, you can expect him to be further and further away from you. But I know I'm right. It doesn't matter if you're right. Don't be so proud of being right. And you can be dead right too. That's the other thing. And then it came this, and with this I close. This came to me last evening as an example of how, through being one who pleased God, a person moved into the power of God beyond anything he thought he could ever have. His name was A.A. Allen, and he was among those ministers that had tremendous miracles of healing. I've seen things written about them in books, and how many miracles. They've been in meetings where every person in the meeting was healed. And he yearned for this power. He yearned for this healing. How many of you yearn to be able to touch people and see them made whole? I do. With all my heart. With all my heart. I want to see that. So he wanted it so much that he put himself in a closet and said he was going to stay there till he heard from God. And he was there a little while. I don't know, a couple of days. I can't remember how long it was. And then he said he literally heard the voice of God. And he grabbed a pencil and wrote on the back of a piece of old paper. And he said that the Lord said to him, there are 12 things that I ask of you in order to give you power. Now, it wasn't go to Sunday school, church. It wasn't be over the worship team. It wasn't learn how to prophesy. It wasn't work hard for the church and do everything right. It wasn't any of the do's that the enemy tries to make us think that we need to have. And we know we can't measure up, so we just quit. It wasn't any of those. It was just like this message that I'm preaching to you today. And here's what, and I'm not going to give you time to write it down because I've got to close here. But I'm going to give you these 12 things. One, the disciple is not above his master. I mean, haven't you sometimes been unwilling to be treated the way Jesus was treated? Secondly, everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Are we really endeavoring to be as Jesus Christ-like? Or are we just trying to be as good as some of the Christians we know? That's not a very good example when we've got Jesus, you know. None of us are. Thirdly, be ye therefore perfect. Have the desire to grow and be mature. And don't be willing in your immaturity to say, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. I just won't grow in that area. Hello. Number four, Christ, our example. You see how this stays focused? Christ, our example. I've read through the gospel so many times. So many times. Even when I was a child, I'd read the red words. And I just love that. I just love to hear what Jesus said. And the older I get, the more I like to hear what Jesus said, because everybody else has fouled it up so that I just want to go back and say, but what did Jesus say about this? You know, we have all these religious ideas about how everything's going to be, but now wait a minute, Jesus said this. Self-denial, number five. You know what? You can't do everything the way you want to do it, when you want to do it. You can't have everything happen at the time you want it to happen, be with the people you want them to be with. Sixth thing, embrace the cross. Well, that's a message in itself. But that was in the song that we just heard. Alive, dead to myself, and alive to Christ. Number seven, I must decrease. How many of you pray? You're going to pray tomorrow morning, Lord, let me decrease today. But John the Baptist said that. You know what? You got to get out of the way of taking glory from Jesus. Because the next one is going to be, he must increase. What he's saying is, I've got to get out of the way and let God get the glory. I need to quit letting people think of me that I'm something in myself. I need to be willing to be less at times so that others can be greater. Number 9, idle words and foolish talking. You know, there's a lot of scripture about that. It just tells you not to just be flapping all the time. You know, some people have gotten afraid of that and they're just quiet all the time. I think the best thing to do is to enter the conversation to the glory of God. I'll tell you what could be idle words. It's just repeating what you've seen on TV or in a movie and blah, blah, blah. And then added, ain't it awful? Why don't you cancel your membership in the Ain't It Awful Club? I decided a long time ago, not only is it awful, it's just not even worth talking about. I'm not going that way. My life is different from their life. And really and truly, I don't know what you expect people involved in the media to do. I don't know how you expect them to dress, how you expect them to sing. They're worldly people. Most of them don't believe anything at all like you believe, and they're going to do what they want to do. If you don't like it, don't watch them. I don't like what some people do. They're not ever going to get into my house. I'm talking about these TV people. Didn't want to be misquoted on that. Goes out on Facebook today, Pastor Sue Curran said if she doesn't like people, they're not going to get in her house. Number 10, present your body. The scripture in Romans 12 says, present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Sometimes we're willing to give God a lot of things, but we don't give him our bodies. You know, when you fast, you're giving God your body. Did you know that? When you exercise and when you take care of your body, you're giving God your body. Or when you're willing for him to take you where he wants you to go. I've had people say, oh, I would never want to go to a place like Mozambique. Well, it's okay, you know, you don't have to go, but be willing if he would want you to. But probably if you feel that way, he doesn't want you to. I mean, you know, if I could get myself totally squared away physically, I'd be happy to get on a plane right now today and work in Mozambique because something wonderful is happening there. Number 11, a partaker of his divine nature. Really believe that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and he's going to supply everything that you need. Number 12, he said was personal to him, and he couldn't say what that was. But he did give that to God, and it took him several days to conquer all those areas. But then he gave them all to God. Then what happened? He pleased God. And then God opened his power upon him. Started answering his prayers every time he prayed. Yeah, really and truly, you do get in a place where you're empowered in prayer because you please God. That's what I want to stay in your mind. I want us to just be thinking about, does this please God? Am I pleasing God the way I do this? Could I please God more? And then I remembered in closing, John 15:7, that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Because I said to the Lord many times, okay, what is the rest of this that I don't see written here? How many wills that we would have we asked of God and didn't get? But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He's wanting us to live in him. He's wanting us to let his words live in him. That's what I've been saying to us this morning. He's not wanting us to accomplish great feats and come and say, now, God, I did that for you. Now answer my prayer. I've known people through the years that thought that they were going to hornswoggle God into doing what they wanted by doing things for him. Are you kidding? Like you can trick God into something. God can't be conned. But he just wants you to live in him. And he wants his words living in you. He wants that close relationship. He wants the surrendered life. He wants you to determine you want to be Christ-like. You know, and I also have thought a lot about Psalm 91. A lot of people quote Psalm 91. You know, nothing's going to happen to me. They can be on my right side and on my left, but nothing's going to come near me. The plagues are not going to come. The angels are going to hold me up. All of this, but I want you to know that that does have a condition. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow. There you have that truth again. You're in the secret place pleasing God. Then His shadow is going to cover you wherever you are. And that's why He can make these wonderful promises to you. No plague is going to come nigh your dwelling. Before we go today, I want us to pray about sickness. Because I think that there are several people who did, and some people got that flu and got to the other side of it. But the Lord wants to heal His people. And He wants you to stand in a place of blessing. He wants to overshadow you with His love and with His protection. So it's not enough to just say, Psalm 91, Lord. He's going to say, hey, did you read the first part of that? It's like the little boy who had three prayers written out on the side of his wall that he prayed at night. You know, and there were three different little short prayers that he would pray. But he got very accustomed to that. And then after a while, he'd just get to where he'd say, prayer number three, Lord. Because we just want to run off with those blessings as quick as we can. But there's something connected with it. Abiding in Him. Please Him. Let the heaven be open. Let me just finish with this one thought. I've been asking the Lord, is there some special thing that you're going to teach us now in this hour that people have had in past generations, like A.A. Allen, like Amy McPherson, like some of these different, is there something, some understanding they had that we've not been walking in? I do believe this is what it is. I do believe if we make up our minds to please God by being Christ-like, we will put ourselves in a place of power. For where the person or the individual, where God's pleasure is produced, God's power is released. That's a tremendous thing. And just, I want to give this to you today because I feel that the Lord spoke this to my own heart. I said, Lord, I want to be able to get that prayer answered when I need it. What more would you like to teach me about being empowered in prayer? Amen? All right, I want us to get ready now to receive our communion. We receive communion on New Year's Eve, but we thought that there could be some that